Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. We'll speak to you on the subject, touch not the unclean thing. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, we ask, Lord, that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument to teach your truth. Lord, help us to learn the value of living a separated life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord says that we are to differentiate between ourselves and the world. The world has only the sinful nature to direct their lives. We have not only a sinful nature, but we have a spiritual nature. And we are to allow that spiritual nature to direct our lives rather than the sinful nature, which tries to overpower us all the time. Listen to what he says here in verses 14 through 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are the sons of God right now. And God says that it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. And we have to allow his grace to flow through us so that we may be what he wants us to be as testimonies in this world. And if we're going to differentiate, we're going to have to be different than what the world dictates to us. And let me tell you, if you're different, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb in our world, because most Christians are not making this differentiation between themselves and the world. Let's look at the subject of lewdness. You know, you drive down Lamar Avenue, there are women who make their living as prostitutes. They don't have to have a sign to carry with them to tell you that they're prostitutes, because the way they dress is their sign. And they may as well have a sign saying, I'm a prostitute looking for a partner. But you know, when you go to Walmart, there are little girls running around in Walmart dressing the same way. They have their sign that says, I'm a prostitute looking for a partner. But the difference is they'll have on a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus. That makes a big difference. What does that say to the lost world? You know, we have to start, when our children are young, teaching them how to dress, how to act. Because if you let a little girl, for example, wear clothes that you wouldn't want her to wear as a teenager, at what point does that change? The mind of that child, if it's all right as a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, it's all right. And all of a sudden, one day we say, you can't dress like that anymore. It doesn't work. You have to start young. And we have to teach our children to be different and not to dress in such a way. Now, the young men have to be very careful. You know, if you respond to that, then as Christians, you are putting your stamp of approval on that. And so many times, young men will choose their life partner by physical attraction, which is all wrong. It doesn't work. You know, the people who are interested in attracting everybody is not going to make a good wife or a good husband who is supposed to be attracted to only one. Because if you have that wondering eye, it's going to continue to wonder. And so we're going to have to be very careful how we raise our children and how they are to look for a life partner. I am thankful for the young people that we have in this church. But you know, it's very difficult when a young girl dresses modestly so as to be different. And the boys are all flocking to the little girls who are carrying their sign. They get left out. And the little boys who are different, and they're not looking for a prostitute for a wife, they get left out in our society. And it's a very lonely place to be, because they understand in their heart that women that are like that are not going to make a good wife. And men that follow after women who are like that are not going to make a good wife, a good husband. And so it's very difficult. But I want you to know, young folks, it's worth the wait. I've told my daughter all of her life, you only need one husband. You wait till God sends you the right one, or you don't get married. There is a fate worse than being single. And that's being married to somebody who does not have a moral stand. I thank God for my wife, because her moral stand was what it should be. And I'm going to tell you, there is more to be said for the inner appearance than for the outer appearance. I'm thankful to God that my wife is a beautiful woman as well as a beautiful person. But it is so important, young men, young women, that you find somebody who is godly in their character. Listen to what Proverbs says about lewdness. Proverbs 11:22 says this: as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know what he's saying? God gives a young lady outward beauty, but if she does not have discretion, it becomes extremely a detriment to her. It's like putting a expensive jewel in a hog's snout. Who wants to do that? It's going to be destroyed. What does a hog do? He roots. He's going to tear up anything that's in his snout. And he says here, it is a foolish thing for God to give a woman beauty and then for her to just destroy that by living a lewd life. And it's very detrimental to the young men who are in the world trying to live a holy life because of the lewdness of those that are not living a holy life. Then lawlessness is another way that we can differentiate. Proverbs 11:19-21 says this: as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You see, God is trying to tell us here, it really does pay to live godly. It really does pay to be what God wants us to be. He says, you're not going to, though hand join in hand, if everybody agrees, and that's what's happened in our society. Most of the teenagers, I've seen pictures of girls and boys going on mission trips that their apparel was saying one thing while their message was something different. And whenever we live that way, there is no difference between us and the world. You know why we're there? It's because our culture demands it. But he says, though hand join in hand, everybody else is doing it, is not a good reason to do something. As a matter of fact, if everybody's doing it, you probably better leave it alone. It's probably wrong. But he said, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. But we can get caught up in that, can't we? What everybody else is doing, that's what we need to do. And so that leads to wickedness inside our own life when we are there as a message of righteousness. Then sometimes we need to differentiate in lifestyle. Listen to 1 Timothy 6:6-11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see, God has a plan for us. This is not the end for us. Have you realized that? There is life after death. You say, well, we all know that. But sometimes we don't live that way. We try to keep up with the Joneses. We try to have everything that everybody else has got. The Bible says here that godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you believe that? Godliness with contentment is great gain. But he says if we want to be rich and we want to have all the things that this world offers, we pierce ourselves through with many sorrows and a snare. That needs to be obvious in our lives. That we believe that godliness with contentment is where it's at. Because that separates us from the world. And God wants us to be different. There's some things we need to discard. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to discard some things. One thing is idolizing. There needs to be no idolizing in our lives. You know, we make idols out of football players that are ungodly people. Movie stars that are ungodly people. We can't afford to do that. Because we are to be different. We're to be separate. Listen to Proverbs 6:20-29. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. But bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. We see on the television and movies and things like that, things that are absolutely contrary to what God has called us to. But if we idolize those people, then what we're doing is we're approving of that lifestyle. Let me tell you something. Children learn from what parents idolize. Listen to me. You may think that you're living a life and your children are too little to know about it. They're not. Whenever you see something on television that is not right, you need to cut it off and let them know why you're cutting it off. Because that's not right. We don't believe like that. People do things that are ungodly. If you go to Walmart and you look at those little tabloids, you know, the Inquirer and all those things, so-and-so person marries so-and-so person, and next week so-and-so person divorced so-and-so person. That shouldn't be surprising because of the lifestyle. But whenever people idolize people of the world who live ungodly lives, our children assume that must be what we're going after. And men, let me talk to you for a minute. You take your little girl with you somewhere, and you look at all the half-dressed women, and your daughter sees you doing that. In her mind, that's beauty. That's the way she needs to dress to get daddy's attention. It happens. Sometimes, whenever daddy then tries to tell that daughter, you ought not to dress like that, that's confusion. But that's what you look at. That's what you like to see. You see, we need to be very careful how we train our children by what we do and what we idolize. There should be no imitating of the wicked. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32 says this. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That doesn't sound good, does it? God is not speaking highly of these people. We should never imitate people who live this way. Now listen to what he says. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now understand what he's saying here. We are not to live like the world. We are not to let the world program our mind. You say, well, how does that work? Whenever we watch how the world lives and we begin to live like the world, and we begin to use the same expressions that they use, and we begin to say the same words that they say, what are we doing? We're imitating the world. It's amazing to me. You let some little catchy phrase be said by some movie star or some athlete, before long everybody's saying it. You know why? It's because we never think about it. We just let the world program us. And we can't do that. He says we've got to watch what we say. We've got to watch what we do. We have to live a certain way. And God is the one who sets that way. And then we have to make no invitation to that. Listen to what he says. 2 John 1:10-11 says this. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Whenever we are friends with the world, the Bible says we're enemies with God. Whenever we begin to promote the things of the world, we are enemies of God. And he says that we're to turn away from that. Now, in verse 18, I want you to see God wants to design us separate from the world. Listen to what he says. And I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, he wants to design us. He wants us not to be designed by the world. He wants to make us in the image of Jesus Christ. Whenever we come to Christ, we all were wretched. We all had things that we needed fixed in our life. Amen? And God begins a work in us to clean us up. But we need to stay there and let God finish what he's doing in our lives and not go off and say, okay, I'm fixed now. I can go off and do my own thing. God wants to design the life of Jesus into every one of us. Listen to 1 Peter 3:3-5. The first step is purity. God wants us to be pure. You say, well, I wasn't pure when I came to God. Well, once we come to God, we have the ability by God's grace to live pure, to start now and live pure. It may not be that you have been pure as a Christian up to this point, but you can start now by God's grace and be pure in your life. Listen to 1 Peter 3:3-5. Whose adorning or your outward appearance? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, let me say here, a lot of people take this verse wrong. They say women should not wear makeup. They should not plait their hair. But look what else it says. They shouldn't put on clothes. See, that's not what he's talking about here. What he's saying is, don't let that be what people see when they see you. That's not what should attract people to you. What should attract people to you is in the next verse. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. It is the heart that should attract people to you, not the outward appearance. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting little powder on the nose if it's shiny. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying it needs to go a little deeper than that. If that's all there is to you, and the inside is just evil and wicked, then you're going to attract people that you shouldn't attract. But if that heart is pure, and if your adorning is a meek and quiet spirit, and this goes for men as well as women, then you're going to have the real beauty that God is designing into you, the beauty of purity. Then he wants us to live by principle. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20 says this, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The principle that God lays out in his word is what we need to design our life after. And we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. It is not all right to sin just because it won't condemn us. The liberty that we have in Christ Jesus is freedom from condemnation. We're not under the law. But if we turn back to a life of sin, we put ourselves right back under the law. And it is still wrong for us to do those things that were wrong before. And then in our practice, Galatians 5, 16 through 25 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now what's he saying with this? All the things that the world does has an end. All of the things that the lost people do are going to come before God in judgment. And they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We are the only hope that some people have of ever knowing Jesus as their Savior and Lord. The life that we live is what they're looking at. And if in that life they see something different, then they may ask you, or at least allow you to explain to them how they can be saved. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scripture. That he was buried and that he rose again, according to the Scripture. That we might have eternal life. And in order to tell people about Jesus, God wants to create in us that clean heart and a life that is a testimony to the goodness of what God can do, so that people will see that, will see the difference, and will want to be saved. Want to find the victory that we have found in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our heart and always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. If Jesus were walking with you next week, as he did with the disciples, would you change anything in your everyday activity? Or would it be exactly the same? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is walking with you if you're a Christian. Every step you take, everywhere you go, every thought you think, Jesus is there. And I want to challenge you to keep that in mind as you live this coming week. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, Jesus died for your sins. You may be saying this morning, as many have said, I don't think I can live up to salvation. Well, you can't, but it's not required. Jesus paid it all. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, he says he will save you this morning. If you are here without Jesus, let me encourage you, put your trust in Christ before you leave this place today. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that enables us to live by your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with that one that's nearest hell this morning. Be with that Christian that has strayed and has patterned their life after the world and not after Christ. Lord, let us turn to you this morning before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.